1-800-404-9633. 1-800-404-9633.
We own a steel mill in Cleveland, shipping in Texas, oil refineries in Seattle, and a factory in Chicago that makes miniature models of factories.
Building the perfect portfolio.
$100 billion.
Through the art and science of investing.
I want to know right now, and I want to know it quick. How the hell are you supposed to deal with this?
Science! This is the Gabriel Wisdom Show.
I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
And now, here's everyone's favorite capitalist, Gabriel Wisdom.
It is Financial Wisdom. Weekdays, coast to coast, right here on the affiliates of the Business Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. Hey, remember, if you miss a show or you just like to listen at your convenience, the programs are archived, podcast, on the network site at businesstalkradio.net. They also stream live there, businesstalkradio.net, or you can get there while passing through my website, gabrielwisdom.com. And while you're at gabrielwisdom.com, make sure you get started with your subscription, your free trial subscription, the companion to the Financial Wisdom broadcast. That, of course, is the Fallen Angels newsletter, the Fallen Angels report that shows you how to buy them when they're cheap and timely. You'll see the track record. It's right there, and you can get started receiving the newsletter every 2 weeks. Give us your name and email address. Go to gabrielwisdom.com. After many years as a successful Wall Street insider, our guest, Douglas Roberts, discovered something that would forever change the way that he looked at investing. During his time on the street, he began to notice that small and mid-sized companies prospered when the Federal Reserve Bank made it easier for them to borrow money. Conversely, he saw that those same companies struggled when the Fed made it more difficult to borrow. However, large companies didn't seem to have these problems and continued to expand all the time. So, through years of research and analysis, Doug Roberts found that there's a direct correlation between stock market performance and the actions of the Federal Reserve Bank. He went on to prove his theory by testing it back to the crash of 1929. And in watching how the Fed influenced the availability of money and credit and simply shifting funds between large and small stocks as little as 1 to 2 times per year, Mr. Roberts was able to outperform the S&P 500 as well as the vast majority of mutual funds. Douglas Roberts' new book now is called Follow the Fed to Investment Success. It's published by Wiley. Doug Roberts, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on, Gabe.
Well, Doug, what else did you find in back testing your theory back to the crash of 1929?
Well, the big thing that we really found is that, as you mentioned, small stocks have a problem getting access to capital. Banks don't really want to lend to them. The financial markets are skeptical of them. So really when the Fed is infusing a tremendous amount of liquidity into the market, that's when really the small cap outperformance that everybody's heard about, the fact that small caps over time do outperform large cap stocks, that's when it really occurs. And if you can isolate those periods, you can capture most of the small cap outperformance and reduce your volatility and risk, so it's easier to stick to over time. You know, the real problem with small caps is there's short and massive periods of outperformance, and if you miss those periods, small caps aren't entirely that profitable to be invested in. Hmm. So the key is to be in small caps during those periods, and that happens to correspond when money is easily available.
Like it is now.
Yeah, right now, actually, we're moving toward a small cap environment. You've seen it, but you have to remember the way we define it is not whether the Fed is lowering or raising rates, but whether it's really behind the curve or ahead of the curve. And we define that using negative real interest rates, that is, interest rates adjusted for the rate of inflation. When we find short-term borrowing costs are less than the rate of inflation, that indicates that it's very, very easy to borrow money, and a small cap rally will ensue.
And where are we now, Doug?
Right now we're entering a period of basically negative real interest rates. We're in a positive period for a period of time, but with all the Fed easing, we've moved back to that period of time. And you know, I think as fear abates, if we maintain negative real interest rates, we're going to have some type of a small cap rally.
You know, I was in Japan not too long ago, and they continue to have what seems to me to be negative real interest rates. Their equivalent of the Fed funds rate is 0.5%, long-term interest rates in Japan are much lower than ours. Their cost of living has only gone up, but doesn't seem to work in their markets, or does it?
Well, in essence, you know, it also helps their... We found that this is kind of a worldwide phenomenon. And just because, at that point, large caps don't perform well, you have to remember that right now, during the decade of the, you know, 2000s,
yeah.
really, the S&P 500 really hasn't made much headway. It actually has had comparable performance to treasuries. But
yeah.
small caps, you know, have outperformed, and until recently, you know, outperformed by a substantial margin.
Isn't that interesting? Douglas Roberts is the founder and chief investment strategist of the Channel Capital Research Institute. You find them at channelcapitalresearch.com. He's a contributor to AOL's money and finance section and is frequently called upon by the media as an expert on the Federal Reserve Bank. His new book is called Follow the Fed to Investment Success, the Effortless Strategy for Beating Wall Street, right here on the Gabriel Wisdom Show, Graham on the Business Talk Radio Network. Doug, in the Financial Times, I believe it was today, there was news about how the Fed is looking at ways to fight asset bubbles. They're reconsidering the way that they deal with asset price bubbles in the wake of the housing and credit bust. And what have you followed this story at all?
I've been following it over time. This has been like the, you know, the $2 trillion question. How do you prevent asset bubbles? And, you know, essentially somebody saying, well, I don't really know it until after the fact. And, you know, Alan Greenspan's initial idea was to, you know, you could only deal with the ramifications of an asset bubble bursting because you weren't quite sure, you know, what an asset bubble was. What we find asset bubbles to be is really a temporary dislocation of supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, what you have is supply takes longer to adjust to demand. So what you tend to find, you know, you found this actually with the tech boom of the late 1990s, you found it with the credit boom here, is all of a sudden demand increases substantially and supply can't meet it. So it begins to assume a life of its own until finally you reach that point of inflection when supply catches up.
What is the Federal Reserve Bank and why was it created?
The Federal Reserve Bank really wanted to add stability to the system. You know, prior to the Fed, it was really a series of, you know, New York banks primarily, but big banks across the country, usually associated with a group of characters known as the robber barons. And what you really needed to do was they needed to add some form of stability to the system. They were kind of sanctioned as national banks.
These were the Vanderbilts, the J.P. Morgans, and some of the lesser-known operators of the day, right?
Absolutely. And really, as a result of the Civil War, they started a national banking system because essentially the federal government needed to raise money to finance the Civil War. Usually... people are, in American history, people were hesitant about the central banks giving any authority. They felt they were hesitant about giving authority to central government. But what they found is that the only way to really finance a war was to have some central banking authority, and they established national banks during the Civil War. Prior to that, you also found the two other attempts at central banks with the First Bank of the United States and the Second Bank of the United States, which were supposedly modeled after the Bank of England, were really associated with paying war debt for first the Revolutionary War and then later on the War of 1812.
Why do you think that our monetary system works? I mean, after all, dollars, just like every other currency, are really just paper.
It's, I guess, if you want to, the suspension of disbelief, or, you know, in the sense that you believe it has value. You say that you can go in and you can purchase it, and it's accepted as a common currency. This is the reason why the United States, as a reserve currency, has been so successful. I think until recently, with the introduction of the euro, it's had the largest acceptance over the largest number of people. So, therefore, it makes things a lot easier. I mean, for instance, when I worked for Morgan Stanley, I lived over in England, and this was prior to the introduction of the euro. It was difficult to do business because when you visited another country, you had to take out your passport, you had to deal with a different set of laws, and you also had to deal with a different currency. Once you eliminate the currency factor, conducting business becomes much easier to do.
Chapter 2 of your book, Follow the Fed to Investment Success, you cover a Wall Street Insider's story, your search for true investment outperformance, and it looks like this is a a brief overview of what you learned during your time on Wall Street. Was that small cap stocks outperform large cap stocks when the Fed has reduced the cost of money to something below the rate of inflation? Is that the main?
Well, what lesson? I just started to see is kind of when, and this started when my career on Wall Street, but occurred is I just started seeing a pattern. Where, and also I had a business myself. I had left Wall Street to actually grow a business, which I eventually sold. I just found that business was much easier to conduct, when basically money was easily available. And I just wanted to find out when that, how you would define that, how you would kind of, measure that so that it would be consistent over time. Because I found that, as an analyst on Wall Street and an investment banker, but also as a business owner as well. Yep. And when the two of those came together, it clicked and it said, maybe this is the reason why small caps outperform over time.
I saw a quote by an old Italian philosopher not too long ago named Massimo Bobucci, in which he said, money stinks, but everybody loves to smell it, which is so true. And you mentioned that our currency and others are really just a suspension of disbelief, I think, is the way you characterized it.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the same time, this system's been working an awful long time. Without money, it'd be very hard to trade with each other. Is there any risk that the U.S. dollar could collapse?
I think at this point, we'd have to. There's always, that one possible risk. But what you have to look at with the U.S. dollar is not so much in isolation, but relative to other currencies. And given what you're saying, and I believe it's correct, we need some medium of exchange. Then, in essence, you need some type of a currency to trade in. And if you look at it, the only danger really the U.S. dollar would have would be if another currency could basically absorb, its place as a center of value. And right now, I don't really see that on the horizon. The euro is something that's a developing story. But even then, one of the things that people fail to realize is the euro initially had a tremendous degree of instability because people were afraid that, people would pull out of the system. And you still have that underlying it. Is right now the euro or the, through the ECB has a single mandate, price inflation. But in terms of full employment, which is a key issue among voters, they use other means, fiscal means, to deal with it. But if it ever severely becomes a problem, you could have people going back to their original currencies and pulling out of the euro. And that's something I think we settled during the Civil War that's really not going to happen in the United States.
Now, you were around, as I was, in the early 80s when interest rates in the United States rose to, I think the prime hit a high of 21.5%. Right now in Iceland, their prime rate is roughly 15%. Interest rates, as I've observed them, seem to run in 20-year cycles. Are we overdue for a period of rapidly rising interest rates? When we come back from this break, I want to ask you that, and also I have you share some more insights from your new book, Follow the Fed to Investment Success. Douglas Roberts is here on the Financial Wisdom Program.
Gabriel Wisdom.
There's an old Wall Street term to describe stocks and bonds that have gone on sale. It's Fallen Angels. We created the Fallen Angels Funds to make money for bargain hunters. This is Gabriel Wisdom with American Money Management. If you prefer high monthly income or growth, the Fallen Angels Funds can help you. No loads, no sales charges. Call us now and receive a prospectus and investor kit. Call 888-999-1395, 888-999-1395. Read the prospectus carefully. It contains investment objectives, risks, and expenses, which should be carefully considered before investing. If you're looking for a money manager that will take excellent care of you, call us. We'll make it easy for you to go bargain hunting, and it's economical, too. No loads, no sales charges. Get the Fallen Angels package. Call me directly, Gabriel Wisdom, 888-999-1395. 888-999-1395. The Fallen Angels Funds from American Money Management, AmericanMoneyManagement.com.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-957-6061. 800-957-6061. 800-957-6061.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-360-8017. 1-800-360-8017. Call now. 1-800-360-8017. 1-800-360-8017.
Are you looking for a way to restore the love and security you once experienced in your marriage? Then call 877-316-0158. And America's number one marriage expert, Dr. Willard Harley, will send you his 12-CD marriage building course, a $390 value, yours free to try for 30 days. Just pay shipping and handling. Your companion will fall passionately back in love or return the course and owe nothing. To order, call 877-316-0158. 877-316-0158. Call now. Is your marriage in trouble? Now, I don't want you to stay in a bad relationship. What I want to show you is how to make your marriage the best marriage on earth, how to get your needs met, and how to meet your spouse's needs. It doesn't matter if there's infidelity or even if you're on the verge of divorce or recently divorced. Simply call this number, 877-316-0158, and we'll send you Dr. Harley's 12-CD marriage building course, a $390 value for a free 30-day trial. That number again is 877-316-0158.
You can be money wise, you can be otherwise. You can be money wise, you can be otherwise.
You can't handle the truth.
The Gabriel Wisdom Show.
It is financial wisdom. Hey, be sure you're getting the latest Fallen Angels newsletter. It goes out in just a couple of days. Give us your name and email address. And it is thefallenangelsreport.com or go to GabrielWisdom.com. Douglas Roberts has written a new book for Wiley called Follow the Fed to Investment Success. This is a strategy for beating Wall Street based on the Federal Reserve policy. And Doug Roberts, by the way, is no stranger to the capital markets. He is founder and chief investment strategist of the Channel Capital Research Institute. That's at channelcapitalresearch.com. He's a contributor to AOL's Money and Finance section. He's frequently called upon as an expert on the Federal Reserve Bank. He has an MBA from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. And I have got a question that I always get a different answer to for you, Doug, on the excess money supply that Steve Forbes and others keep talking about. Mr. Forbes says all the excess money that the Fed has created, that running the printing presses, I guess, essentially, is the reason why oil prices and other commodity prices are so high. They've created too much money, more than the economy could productively absorb. Do you agree with that?
I have tremendous respect for Steve Forbes. But I don't think, you know, there may be a contributing factor. But you have to remember one thing about oil prices. Oil prices were rising and really kind of broke out in 2003, right as actually the Federal Reserve was starting to raise interest rates, and actually it kept rising all along as the Federal Reserve was raising interest rates back to up its peak in the 5% range. So, now that kind of is counterintuitive when all of a sudden oil prices